Between the Barrels, where every rider has a story. Welcome back to Between the Barrels. I'm your host, Madeline Green. In a sport where every fraction of a second counts, understanding where time is spent can make all the difference. This week, we are going to dive into the world of split timing. I'm so excited to have Brittany Hawley on the show to talk about exactly what that is. Take a listen. Hey, Brittany, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So let's just kind of get into it. Assume that I, you know, have no idea about what split timing is. Kind of give me a synopsis on what that entails.
So split timing is basically, it's just a telemetry system, which is a measurement of time, basically. And it breaks down your run into seven different parts. So the four straights and the three barrels. So that you can see like where in the pattern you're losing time against the fastest current time in the class you're running, or also our system based on your pattern size measures the most mathematically fastest time that you could possibly run on that pattern, which obviously most of the time it's near, you know, impossible, but, you know, based on the angles and the measurements, that's what the mathematical calculation is. We also have tools that are really cool for producers, such as a ground report, which is included in all of our software. And that can tell you if, you know, you're at a race and the ground is getting, say, faster or maybe slower at a particular point in the pattern. And you can make adjustments along the way, like maybe drag a little bit more in this area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it will tell you like the percentage of down barrels, like which barrel had the most down barrels. So that could be really useful for, you know, a lot of people on social media like to, you know, say, oh, I went to this race and the ground sucked or whatever. If you have our system there at your race, you can be like, nope, see this report here, it just shows you know how to ride a horse,
right? Yeah.
and it may be something as simple as like a banner, you know, at the, you know, at the barrel that they're knocking down the most, maybe you adjust that. And couple other things that it has too is, in addition to that, is we have the live feed. Mm-hmm. So at any place, anytime we're at a race, we have a separate live feed you can use that will tell the, like, the next 10 runners up, the current top 10 fastest times, the total times, and it will show you the current splits of the person that's currently running as well.
Wow. So when you say that it, you know, calculates the down barrels, it calculates, you know, the different ground conditions and stuff, how does it actually do that?
Well, that's, some of that is proprietary information. But we have, you know, the original system, which was started in Brazil, we've kind of adapted that to, you know, some U.S. facilities and stuff, and we have over 200,000 runs in our history. So we're able to kind of build upon all that history and take some of the averages basically of the times and the splits to drill down what makes the best ground in a race.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that are really cool, you know, you hear about, you know, the Brazilians, they, you know, have the quote unquote official fastest world record time on a standard pattern, which, if you didn't know, in Brazil, that's all that they run on is a standard pattern. They actually, in some barrel races, which is really cool, all of the barrel races in Brazil use split time, like every single one. And at some of their races, even they, after every 50 runners, they measure even the moisture content of the ground.
Wow.
Like you can buy a little, moisture reader thing like at Home Depot. But even at some of them, they bank the turns around the barrels, which I thought is really cool. They don't do that everywhere, but they, you know, the founder of the company kind of took all of his experience from that with a partner here in the U.S. We've been able to kind of adapt that system to fit the needs of everyone here.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, it got its start in Brazil. It seems like a very tedious process. How hard is it to, you know, get this thing up and working here in the States?
It's actually not hard at all. Our main concern when really bringing it here to the U.S. was make it easy for the user.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we recently moved to was having the software platform on a cloud. So you don't have to download any software anymore. And you can update your draws directly from a website. So like, for example, Saddlebook, you know, a lot of people are using Saddlebook now to enter, and you can upload the draws directly from that website. Or obviously you can upload them directly from a spreadsheet. And really, it's just a few clicks of the button. Once you have it, your draw uploaded, we have a drag button. So, you know, the system knows that during drags, you know, it's not recording those times because it's a tractor.
Right.
And when the tractor's done dragging, you just click off and it goes. You literally just have to press a button when the barrel is down. Go on from there. It's very user friendly. The founder, Ricardo, you know, has a background in barrel racing. His family, you know, bred barrel horses his whole life. His family, he barrel races. But he has a background kind of in engineering in Brazil. And so he has that type of analytical mindset that really is, I think, key to what separates us from other people that have a similar product.
Mm-hmm.
What really makes us unique are some of the things I already mentioned, like the ground report, the live feed, some of the other tools. But the user interface, when I first found out about this, that's really what drew me in, was the user interface. It has a lot of, like, when you go and you purchase your analysis, or you see the analysis that we share online, it has this wonderful, colorful visual that kind of helps break down the splits and the runs. And it groups them into several different, like, categories. Like, you can just see the simple, these are each of your splits. Here are, you know, your total turns combined. Here are your total straights combined. Here, and you can compare that to any runner.
Huh.
So say you think you have, you know, a jam up futurity horse, and you make your first run. Well, and you want to see how your horse compares to a derby horse, you know, and see how good they are. You can literally compare it to anyone you want.
Wow.
In any class for that. And I think that's really important, and it kind of helps. It can help you make adjustments along the way, you know, if you're at an event and need to make some last minute changes. So
that's so crazy. It just seems so, you know, like, can't wrap your head around the fact that you can get all this information. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think it's great for the industry. You know, I think you had Michelle Alley on your podcast recently.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually listened to all your episodes before you even messaged me as a fan. So I've listened to every episode. But she kind of talked about how she used the splits at the Diamond Classic where she ran to help her, you know, break the arena record at the Lazy E.
Right.
And what's really great about, you know, about us being at different races, it does allow you to make those adjustments. And we've had some great testimonies from many different people that have used the system that, you know, have given us feedback on things you wouldn't even think it necessarily would help with.
Right.
It's not just about, like, you know, you looking at the raw data, but it helps with the mental game. You know, a mm-hmm. lot of people are always looking for advice for mental game. And I think that's something it really helps with. For example, at the BFA, we had a youth competitor who, you know, she was riding a couple of her horses. They didn't really perform the way she had expected. And they purchased their split timings and looked at the splits, and they were able to see that her horses were capable of doing the things she wanted, and they were able to clock, but she was still really discouraged.
Right.
So when they were able to see that, she made some adjustments before running in the finals and ended up actually winning the Junior Derby side pot. And
oh,
they,
wow.
You know, they credit that to seeing the actual stats. I shared that testimony on our Facebook page a while back, but it's really cool to see, like, you know, it can help with your mental game in addition to, you know, drilling down to what you need to work on.
Right. Because, you know, sometimes after runs, it's very disheartening, you know, when you feel like, oh, I had a pretty decent run. And this kind of allows you to see maybe where you lost it and where you can, you know, put your focus on.
Exactly. No, that's exactly one of the things that helps with. That's a good point to that. Fallon Taylor, who actually has our at-home system, she's the first person here to have our at-home system to kind of take it through its paces. But she was at a race where we were at And she was able to share some insights that she discovered from one of her runs with a new mare she had bought. And she was able to see that the person that won the race, she was fastest in all of the straights, every single straight except the turns, for the person that won the entire race. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the obvious part of that is, well, you need to speed up your turns. So, but you're able to see like, oh, it was a good run. Like, look how well I did in all of these different segments of the pattern. I may have not won, but you can still have some wins.
Right.
You know, by using the system and be able to, again, make adjustments along the way.
Now, take us through this setup process. I know that you said Fallon has like the at-home version. You know, what exactly is this? Is it through the timers? Is it a camera?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way you set it up, you have your normal start-stop timer, right, that everyone's going to have at a race. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, you have three other eyes that you put around the barrels to measure around the barrels. So you have them at the first and second and across the third. And it's as simple as that, really. Wow. And then you have our software. Huh. So our software is what kind of really takes that data from the timers, stores it, and puts it into the system and breaks it down for everyone so that you can compare it. We just actually rolled out with our at-home system, and this is the first official announcement that we're announcing it to the public here on this podcast.
Nice.
And of course, we'll have a code for your users as well. Podcast 1, the number one, all uppercase. So that if you reach out to us and you make a purchase on our website or through me directly on Facebook, let me know that code and you'll get your discount. It's really great because I think, you know, we've had it at the races for the producers, but now if you purchase the at-home system, you can practice at home and create a baseline so that you know how well your horse is doing when it comes time to run. And that's another one of the things that it helps with. It's, you know, if you create a baseline and you know what your horse is capable of, right? You know, if you go to a race, if they're off a little bit, you can troubleshoot from there. That's really, you know, what horse training is all about, is problem solving, mm-hmm. trying new things to help, you know, your horse make the best possible run. And by developing a baseline, kind of similar to like a resting heart rate, right?
Right.
That everyone has. You can go and compete at these races and you truly can know if your horse is performing at their best ability. And that's obviously important when the fastest time wins at a barrel race, right? And, you know, one of the things I think that's lacking in our industry, and, you know, you see people talk about this all the time, is mentors and coaches, like mm-hmm. the access to mentors and coaches. And me, like a lot of other riders, I ride by myself. In this system, that home system, you can be your own coach, really. And we've had a really, a couple of good stories from being able to use that in that way and being your own coach and helping them, you know, at home, having the at-home system and then helping them at races. We've had a couple people use them at clinics as well. So some clinicians have used it and are able to help like the riders and be able to, you know, some of that data, you know, it helps you be able to better visually see, you know, what you're trying to tell the rider to do differently. You know what I mean? So I think that's one of the things that can really just, it's just another tool in your toolbox, you know, like a bit or spur. It's not going to work the same for every single person, you know, but it can definitely help you develop a better feel, you know, if, you know, it's really hard, I think, for even the best clinician to kind of explain and show what a feel is. And if you're able to say, hey, yeah, that's it, and then show them the data, you'd be like, oh, I see what you're talking about now, and, you know, put two and two together.
I feel like it would be such a game changer for those futurity trainers and jockeys, because you would be kind of able to see how your colts are matching up.
Exactly. Yeah. So like if you're, you know, everyone usually is on, they like to budget, you're on a tight budget sometimes. And, you know, if you have multiple horses that you're trying to prepare for their futurity year, and the BFA is not, you know, exactly cheap to enter.
Right.
You know, you can, if you have the system at home, you can compare your own horses against each other and really see, is it really worth it to enter both of these horses somewhere?
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, I mean, that's something that we don't necessarily have right now.
Exactly.
You see the data and, you know, you can make the decision based on that.
You know, technology is always changing. So looking forward into the future, you know, are there any developments? Are you guys always trying to kind of figure out new things? How does that work? And, you know, also people taking this idea, you know, not obviously copying it completely, but do you have a fear of, you know, somebody trying to kind of one-up you guys or anything like that?
Well, obviously, that's something on, I think that's inevitable.
Right.
A little bit, but we are trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
The word split timing is trademarked, and we have a patent pending for the software. So we really take it seriously. But people that, you know, want to imitate us, we're still willing to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if there's, you know, someone out there that, you know, has a similar system, we can really adapt all of our technology currently here, like on the back end and the data, to customize it the way you want to use it. So, you know, Ricardo and all of us on the team are really, we just want to make the industry better, you know, and I think, you know, if you see like so many other, you know, sports industries, like the NFL, for example, they have all of these stats and, you know, we don't. So I think we're really moving in a direction we need to, and we're constantly innovating. Just this morning, I was told that we have just a simple function now to do a reverse order in the system when you're uploading a draw. So if you already have the draw from yesterday, from the first round uploaded, all you have to do is click a button and it just reverses the draw for you in the system. So that's a new enhancement. And then, you know, in the future, with the at-home system in mind, I mentioned before, we have a drag button, quote unquote, which, you know, stops the timers from capturing data when anything crosses the eye. We are planning on having that in a smartphone app. So you can have a button drag on, drag off, so that you don't have to go to the actual computer if you're using it, you know, to put drag on, drag off. Like if you're switching horses, if you want to warm up another horse, you know, in between horses or something like that, you can just click that button on your phone and the eye won't capture anything.
It's crazy all the things technology does.
It is crazy, but it's great.
Yes, yes. Great. I feel like, especially with the growth of the industry, as far as, you know, been more money, more things. I feel like you said, you know, with the NFL, like it's about time we have more statistics that we can see.
And I think you nailed it on the head. Like we need to embrace the change. And I think every chance we get to, you know, welcome someone into our industry, we need to take that chance and do it. If it's, you know, if you're at a rodeo in the stands filming someone and you see someone next to you that, you know, went to the store and wanted to purchase some quote unquote cowboy attire and it happens to be like Woody from Toy Story.
Right.
Because I've seen this, you know, and I've heard people making fun of this person like, oh, you know, look at his red hat with the red stitching and his cowboy vest with the, you know, with the sheriff
right.
badge on there and making fun of him, but he was there by himself and he paid to watch the event.
Exactly.
And he doesn't necessarily know, you know, what is trendy to wear to rodeo. He's just there to enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
And instead of making fun of him, we need to make it easier for him and more welcoming. Just like, you know, Beyonce making, unpopular opinion, Beyonce making this, you know, country album.
Right.
You know, regardless of whether or not you like the song, whether or not you think it's quote unquote country, you need to embrace that because she just opened doors for other people to come in this industry and be a fan of rodeo and in barrel racing, you know, more specifically. And we are, I think, constantly 50 years behind other the other popular sports. And we need to keep that in mind because if we aren't more welcoming, then, you know, we put this sport in danger of going away. Exactly. And there's so many other people that are trying to do that and trying to, you know, end the sport because they think it's cruel and they're not welcomed into the sport and they don't know about it. Mm-hmm. If it's more welcoming, it's easier for them to become a fan.
Yes. Great points right there for sure. Say that I buy my report of my runs. How much am I looking at this to cost and what all do I get with that?
At the at-home system, you just pay a, you know, a monthly subscription fee, mm-hmm. and it's as many as you want at home. If you're at a race, you can compare up to 3 different runs at the same time, mm-hmm. and it goes, and it ranges from $8.99 to $11.99 if you're doing 3. So, and then, you know, at some races, you know, depending on the producer, the setup they want, you know, you might have the analysis might be complimentary.
Okay.
So it's, you know, just depends on kind of the arrangement that we have. So it's a really cool system. And, you know, if you need to compare it to other people, you can reach out to us and we can get you set up and you can make another purchase.
And then just for fun, kind of, you know, how did you get your start in barrel racing and why is this something that's so, you know, important to you?
I've, of course, like many other people, I'm sure that say this, I've loved horses all my life. Mm-hmm. And I started taking formal riding lessons from a Western pleasure trainer when I was like 8 years old, I think. And her daughter, Lauren Williams, I became friends with her and she started barrel racing and we were around the same age. So as soon as I got a taste for her barrel racing, I was like, oh, I got to do this. And I was fortunate enough that growing up, my parents and my grandparents put me under some really nice horses. Mm-hmm. And my main barrel horse in high school was a former fraternity horse. She won the ANHA finals at one point. And I kind of have a little bit of a different story than probably a lot of other people that rodeoed in high school because I went to a large 5A school in a very suburban area. And we didn't have, like, no one had high school. Like, there wasn't a high school rodeo kind of thing in my school. So I rode at the MBHAs, like, back. You know, when I was in high school, the MBHAs were really big. They gave really good prizes. And I did, a lot of East Texas folks will know this one, the ETBRAs, which is the East Texas Barrel Racing Association, was really big back mm-hmm. then. And the Texoma Junior Rodeo Association I did. And then when I graduated high school, I was expected to foot the bill for all my horse expenses.
Oh, no.
So, like, my greatest memory is, you know, you see that meme that's like, my greatest memory is my parents paying for everything. And
right.
That is also true for me. So I actually started working for my full-time job pretty much right out of high school, and I still work for them, you know, 17 years later. So in between them, I bought road horses and flipped them. And, you know, finally starting to get back into the fraternity world. And I have a really nice horse that Molly is fraternity-ing this year and that I'm really excited about. And I hope we can go on to do good things. And I think one of the things I've always been passionate about, and I you know, sometimes I feel like I'm starting to sound like the adults on Charlie Brown, you know, the wah, 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 yeah. wah when I talk about this, but I love math. Okay. You know,
I don't.
Well, I hear that a lot. But math was always like, I made better grades in math than any other, you know, subject. When I was, you know, growing up, and at the my full time job now, it's a Fortune 100 company. I kind of discovered my love for, you know, anything analytical. Doesn't matter what it is. And I work in the marketing and analytics department now, where I look at large sets of data all day long to kind of improve our strategy when it comes to lending money. And the whole reason I got into split timing is through my data analytics company, Equisource, which, you know, measures the correlation between pedigree and performance. When I reach out to them after they're at the BFA and I needed the raw data to do a heat map, I reached out and they gave me the data and I said, hey, if you ever need any help, let me know. And they did. And here we are today.
And then kind of to wrap things up, what are some events that you guys will be set up at this year?
I will be at Fort Smith next week. We have the bonus race finals in, I think it's the second week in June, as well in Oklahoma. And a couple of small jackpots around here. And also we're in the talks with doing some of the bigger barrel races in Ocala as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I haven't actually been to one of the races there yet, but I heard the facility is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I haven't either, but I was just talking about it yesterday with someone, and I would love to go.
Yeah. So we're, and, you know, we can accommodate really any size producer, you know, that wants to use our system. So all you have to do is, you know, reach out to me on Facebook, on the Split Timing page, or of course you can do my personal page too. And, you know, we can get you set up. It's real easy. Next week, I actually plan on at Fort Smith doing a video just to show people really, truly how easy it is to use the system. Cause I know it seems daunting. I think that's our biggest hurdle, is it seems daunting to use the system, but I promise it's really not.
Yeah. For someone who doesn't really understand a lot of it, it does seem like a lot. So I think that video would be great to share that with people.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that. And if you're interested, I promise you it's not as daunting as it is, as it seems outwardly.
Awesome. And then kind of lastly, I always ask this question, but, and you kind of touched on it throughout, but again, you know, what impact do you kind of hope to leave on the industry, whether it's, you know, through Split Timing or just you yourself? What are you hoping that people, when they look at you and what you've done with all this, what impact do you hope that you leave?
I think, you know, our ultimate goal is just to improve the industry. You know, Ricardo and Dale, our other partner here in the U.S., you know, we don't expect to make $1 million out of this by any means. We just think it'll help grow the industry. And if you're not growing, you're dying, you know, and you should always be trying, no matter what industry you're in, you should always be trying to improve in any way. And this certainly can't hurt the industry. And I think if people, you know, keep an open mind and are able to try new things, they'll really learn that this can help them in many ways more than just improving your speed. And I hope that we can help people not only obviously in that way, the most obvious way, but make them a more confident rider, you know, make, you know, hopefully, you know, if someone uses our system, you know, that is starting to get burned out on barrel racing and they start using our system, it would be awesome if it helped them in a way that made barrel racing fun again. And I think that's kind of what it's all about.
That is all for this week's interview. If you're interested in taking advantage of that promo code, make sure you contact Brittany. The code was podcast1. As always, if you would like to stay up to date on all things barrel racing, follow us on social media. And if you'd like to give us a suggestion of who you'd like to hear from or a question you'd like answered, send us an email at betweenthebarrels@gmail.com. I'm your host, Madeline Green. Tune in next week.